Thank you, Micah. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to go back to that passage of Scripture that we were looking at last week. And we want to take time to look at one of the aspects of these verses. 1 John 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Of course, the theme in 1 John is, one of the great themes is genetics. When you are born into the devil's family as a sinner, you have his genetics. When you're born into God's family, you get his genetics. And the Bible is obviously talking about who you are. Either you, Jesus said, by your fruits ye shall know them. Those who have the genetic nature of the devil are going to live a certain way. Those who have been born into the family of God have a new set of genetics, and they're going to live a certain way. Little children, little born ones, let no man deceive you. Don't, and of course the context is, the Gnostics was the false religion, apostate group of that day. Just checking to see if I had my mic on. I didn't even remember. And and obviously, he was helping the believers to realize that the Gnostics weren't born again. They said they were believers, but their doctrine tells that they weren't born again. They had wrong doctrine. They did not believe in the humanity of Christ. They believe in his deity. And the Bible says when you get born again, you get anointing from the Holy One, and you know, understand spiritual truth. And here it is telling us that when you're born again, you get a new heart, a heart of righteousness. And the Bible says in the New Covenant, I will write my law into their hearts. And and he's telling them that they know that these Gnostics have never been born again. They are not the children of God. They're the children of the devil. Even though they are very, 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 very religious, very pious, they haven't been born again. Why? Because they don't have this birth. He that doeth righteousness, that which is right before God and right before man. First half of the Ten Commandments, second half of the Ten Commandments, righteousness. And it says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, justified before God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Even as he, Jesus, is righteous. You get his genetics, you're going to live like him. That's what it's saying. But if you don't get those genetics, you're going to live like how you're born, a lost sinner. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Another key word in the book of John, of. It's either genitive case or it's out. It's from the preposition out of. It speaks of birth. He that committeth sin, that person who is content to continue to live a life of sin, to continue to go on the pathway of sin, they have been born again. The Bible says he that committeth sin is of the devil. They have the devil's birth. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. It says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. The deliverer, the Lord Jesus. Why was he manifested? Why did he come to the earth? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Whosoever is born of God, can that key word, birth of God, doth not commit sin, is not live a life of continuous sin. It says, for his seed remaineth in him. That's a great verse talking about when you get saved, you have a new birth. The Holy Spirit gives you a new birth. You know what? That Holy Spirit never leaves. Amen? That Holy Spirit never leaves. That seed remains in him. You cannot lose your salvation. That seed remains in you. And what a great, great truth. His seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. He cannot continue this pathway of sin. Because why? He is born of God. You know, I just met a man Friday at, well, I didn't meet him. I stalked him because I met him many years ago at Ann Arbor Baptist Church. But I was talking to him and he said, you know, Pastor Hirth was going door to door in the dorms at Michigan. I think it's Michigan, University of Michigan. And I can't remember his name, if it's Ron, but I don't remember. And came to his door and told him about Christ. And he got born again. He got saved, got converted. And he says, you know what? Nobody told me. He didn't put it this way. He says, I could put it like another evangelist said. nobody told me that I wasn't supposed to go to church or want to go to prayer meeting or go soul winning. He didn't say that. He says, but you know, immediately I went to church. And I went to church every service. And immediately I start witnessing. And I just thought that was normal, you know. And I started reading my Bible. And I just thought that was normal. Well, it was normal. It is normal. Amen. Born of God. That's what it's saying. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. In other words, the word manifest means clearly seen. It's clearly seen. There's no mistake about it. There's no deception about it. Don't get fooled. A lot of religious people in the world. A lot of people saying all this stuff. Don't be fooled. It's manifest. You know, means you can see it with your eyes. That's what that word means. It says, and the children of the devil. The children of God, born ones of God, and the born ones of the devil. It says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. There's a key word again. Of. Birth. Out of. Source. Source of the birth. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. This dear brother, he said, well, you know what? Once he got saved, he wanted to be around God's people. Amen? That's who he wanted to be around. Because he got born of God. He wanted to be around those who were born of God. And et cetera. And whosoever doeth not righteousness. This is a very simple. It's pretty simple. Doeth not righteousness. You know, it says don't be deceived. Yeah, you know, we live in a very confusing day. You ever figure that out? Now, put it in the context of the New Testament. Here's this group, obviously a large group. This group called the Gnostics. Now, the Bible says, they went out from us because they were not of us. So at one time, they were a part of the churches. They were a part of that group who professed Christ. They were a part of the crowd. And then all of a sudden, the crowd got smaller. They went out from us. This big group called the Gnostics, they left. They left the churches. There was a big departure. Yeah. And John is dealing with this. What's the reason? What's the situation? Well, the situation is pretty clear. He says, they don't believe, have the right doctrine. Why don't they have the right doctrine? Because they're not born of God. They don't have the right lifestyle. They don't have the right lifestyle. Why? Because they've not been converted. They've not been born again. He says, you know what? Why don't they love the brethren? Why? Because they've not been born again. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. You know, you got this big crowd out there, religious crowd. They fit better into the world than into God's people. They like the lifestyle of the world. That's what they like. Nobody's making them live that way. They like that. You know, but he said, all of that we've been talking about, because of the devil. That's right. It's because of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And what a great truth. That's his purpose in coming to the earth, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, let's park there today. Genesis chapter 3. This is the prophecy given for mankind and against the devil. Genesis 3, verse 15. The context, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The serpent. I don't like serpents. I don't like snakes. I tell you what. I don't know where it was in Malaysia. I think it was in Malaysia or whatever. You go to these temples and they worship snakes. Oh. I don't know if we went there or not. But I don't like them. Just them slithering along the ground just gives me the creeps. Maybe you love them, but I don't. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to the devil. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it, that's the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, mortal, fatal wound, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right here, the end of the devil is prophesied. And who's going to do it? The seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. All history has to be brought into that perspective of there is the enmity, and we'll be getting into that. We'll be getting into that. Why was it that Cain killed Abel? Why? Because Cain was of the devil. He was of the ungodly seed. And the ungodly seed put to death the godly seed. And you know, the ungodly seed isn't what you think, though. Cain brought an offering to God, but it was an offering that represented his good works. He was religious, but he was a rebel against God. He's going to get to God his own way. Going to get to God by his good works. He didn't need a sacrifice. He didn't need someone to die in his place. He didn't need a Savior, which is pictured by the innocent lamb whose blood Abel brought to the altar. And all of history is a picture of that enmity of those who are saved by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus on the cross versus that whole rest of mankind that is going to get there by some kind of faith, whether it's an evolution or whatever, plus works. Maybe even Jesus plus good works. But there's this enmity. But the prophecy is that the seed of the woman was going to bruise the head of the serpent. And of course, that's figurative language of a wound to the head is a, you know, we use the phrase, we're going to shoot him in the head. Well, that's a mortal wound. Mortal wound. Finished! And of course, go to Revelation chapter 20. In verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Who's the victor? The Lord Jesus. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. It's important. Amen? The devil, his end is prophesied. His end, his final end is going to happen. And it's the Lord Jesus who is the victor. He came to save us from the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible has a very sad picture here, but also the sad picture of reality, but the great picture of deliverance from the world system of the devil. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat thereof, you shall die. Sin is not neutral. Sin is not neutral. Sin brings man into the realm of death. Whereas for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death. You know, you talk to the intellectuals, and they got all these foolish, they have such foolish thinking. You wonder where they got this stuff from. But you know, sometimes you just got to say to them, just forget all this foolish talk. What are you going to do about your sins? What are you going to do about your sins? Sin is real. You can deny God. You can say what you want and have all these inventions, but the fact is sin is real. And sin brings about death. And death is real. It's real. And it's a realm that mankind is in, the realm of death, separation from God because of sin. Wherein, it says, and wherein time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that prince of the power of the air? Talks about the word prince, talks about a ruler, a prince of the power of the air. Well, it talks about authority, power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This is talking about the devil. And you know, the devil, when not only did sin come into the world when Adam and Eve sinned, but the devil's realm was allowed to come into this world because of Adam and Eve's sin. And because of that, he is the god, little g, of this world. He's the prince, the ruler of the power of the air. It's real. And he came in, he was allowed in because Adam and Eve were foolish enough to listen to him and disobey God. But the Bible says that before we're saved, we're in this path of the world. And the devil runs it. The devil runs it. Verse 3, and among whom we all had our conversation. That's an old English word meaning our manner of life. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature, that's birth, the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, this is the kingdom of the devil, the world system that we're all born into. The system of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And mankind is caught up in this system, this bondage, this hold. How could everybody be on the same path and their life be all about these same things? Because the prince of the power of the air. And the Bible says when you get saved, you get released from his jurisdiction because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Yes, verse 4, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love worth, he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Yes, before we're saved, we're dead. We don't know any different. We're lost. We're helpless. We're blind. But it says, but when we were dead with sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, unmerited favor, not something we deserve, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, being delivered from the bondage of hell to sitting with Christ in the heavenly kingdom. He delivered us from the darkness of sin to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's the devil's hold. Isn't it great? You remember the day you got saved? All of a sudden, you saw the world completely different. You saw the world completely different. Immediately you realized, oh no, they're lost. They don't know the truth. They can be saved. They can have Christ. Translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Because the Lord Jesus, and he alone, is able to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And so, turn with me to Romans 6. Verse 6, chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. What does that mean, servant of sin? You know what that means? That means sin's the boss. That means you do what sin tells you to do. That's what our world is like, isn't it? poor souls. Poor souls in darkness, servants of sin. Sin tells them what to do, and they blindly, as weaklings, do what sin tells them to do. That's where we were. That's where everybody is before they get saved. Thank God ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered unto you, being made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. You know what the Bible is picturing? Very simple. When you're lost, you're a slave to sin. If you're lost, I dare you to try to deliver yourself from it. You will see, only then will you see how much you're a slave to it. But when you get saved, you get delivered from that master. You don't have to obey that master anymore. You're free. Now the Bible calls that redemption. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7, in whom, it's talking about Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. We have redemption through his blood. You know, that's a great word. And in the context of the Bible, redemption was the word that meant to buy out of the slave market. To buy out of the slave market. In New Testament times, 50% of the world's population were slaves. 50%. Whatever nation was conquered by whatever country they were conquered, as the Romans conquered the world, the soldiers were paid not wages by the government. The soldiers were paid by whatever money and spoils they got. And one of the richest spoils they got were people. People. And they would march these prisoners back to Rome or wherever. And if you were a doctor or an engineer, or a teacher, or a linguist, or you name it, you were valuable. You were valuable. And you would bring a lot of money at the slave market. A lot of money. In the early days of America, we inherited a horrible system of slavery from the Arabs and the English. And from the very beginning, Christian people mostly abhorred it. And slaves would go to the market, and they would be hope. There'd be a Quaker out there. They hoped there'd be a Quaker out there because there were people like the Quakers who would save up their money and purposely save money with great sacrifice to go to a slave auction and to buy one of those slaves so they could set them free. And Jesus came to this earth to shed his blood as the payment for our sin, to deliver us from the slavery of sin and our master, the devil, so we could be free. Free. Free to do right instead of being a slave to sin. You know, sin is a horrible slave master. Sin tells a person what to think all day long. Sin causes a person to violate every norm of propriety and right. Sin is a horrible taskmaster. They tell the story of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was a drunk. And booze is a good picture of the devil. John I. Rice wrote the pamphlet Booze, Liquid Devil. How many preachers say that booze is okay? They ought to quit. Amen? They ought to quit. Quit preaching. The booze is like liquid devil. And Mel Trotter was a drunk. Spent all his money on booze. The family lived in poverty. Mel Trotter comes home from the tavern. His wife said, "Your little baby is sick, real sick." I got in hold of the doctor, and the prescription is at the drugstore. This prescription will save his life. Promise me, Mel. Promise me that I'll give you this money and you'll get the prescription. Promise me. She knew he was a drunk. And he said, "I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise." On the way to the drugstore, he went to the tavern and he went in. And hours later, being totally inebriated, he went home. His little baby had died. Died. Sin was his master. Not reason. Not love. Not propriety. Sin was his master. Mel Trotter soon just came to hate himself of his total slavery to sin. One night, wintry night, as he was on his way to Lake Michigan to commit suicide, walked past the doors of Pacific Garden Mission, heard the music. Someone was on the street, invited him in. He went in, heard about Jesus Christ, who came to destroy the works of the devil, who shed his blood to pay the price, the ransom price, to buy us out of the slave market of sin. Mel Trotter that night accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Became a good father. Became a good husband. Became a good Christian. And started many other rescue missions. Why? Because he was delivered out of the slave market of sin by the only one who can do it. Jesus Christ. Redemption through his blood. The Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? The devil was destroyed and will be destroyed. As Jesus walked on the face of the earth, Mark chapter 1. He showed us who he was Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they were questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. The Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Yes, he came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil has been the deceiver from the beginning. He puts people, to causes people to believe a lie and to listen to lies. But Jesus brings light to the soul. 1 John chapter 2. Have the text we looked at a little bit earlier. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, obviously clear to visible eye, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, before you're saved, you wouldn't know what kind of church to go to, except by some intervention of God. How would you ever tell the difference? How would you ever tell the difference? What church is teaching the truth? Or what religion is teaching the truth? How would you ever know? But you know, when you come to Jesus Christ, now you know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, you can't put the cart before the horse. You got to put the horse before the cart. You accept, you recognize what that you're a sinner and you're lost and you're dark and you need a new heart. And only Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. Only Jesus Christ can give you a new mind and a new heart. You come to Christ as a sinner. Everybody knows they're a sinner. Even the heathen know that they're sinners. And come to the only one who can save you. And you know what? Then you've come to the beginning of being able to know the difference between right and wrong and the truth and lies. Isn't it great? While you're under the realm of the devil, it's like maybe this, maybe that. What's right? What's wrong? But when you get saved, the truth comes to live within you. And the Spirit of truth is there to guide you so you can understand the Bible. Yes, Satan came to deliver us from the works of the devil. We could think of so many other things. He came to deliver us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is the message to the believer. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord! There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. You know what that means? That means you don't have to listen to the tempter anymore. Amen? You don't have to fall to temptation anymore. You have, in Jesus Christ, you have deliverance. But I want to show you, I want to share with you a verse that's very important concerning this. Romans chapter 7. Yeah. God, if you get saved, there will be never any temptation bigger than you can deal with and have victory over through Jesus Christ. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Instead of being a pawn to the devil, you can be victorious over the devil. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Yeah, our flesh is weak, and the devil aims his temptations right at our weak flesh. Notice the next verse. This is a big one. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to give me victory over my own flesh as born with? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But there's two big words there. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord. The victory is found in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You have to have Him as your Savior. And you have to submit to Him. It's kind of like this. How would I explain it? If you're going to have victory over sin, the power is there in Jesus Christ. But if you're saying no to God, if you're saying no to Jesus, you're not going to find the victory. Because the victory, the power, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is a bad illustration. But you know, you want to get victory over cigarettes? Well, I think I know how it works. Because all sins are alike. You know how you get victory? Well, the Lord says you're going to get victory, then you aren't going to go to that store and buy them. Right there. There's the Lordship of Jesus Christ, right? He's going to say, don't go to the store and buy them. If you say, okay, I won't, now you got victory. You got His power. But if you say no to Him, I'm going to go. I'm going to go against the Holy Spirit. I'm going to disobey Him. Well, you're not going to get victory. And you could put that with anything, right? Obey. He's got to be the Lord. But thank God there's victory in Jesus Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the Bible makes a pretty good picture here, pretty obvious. We're helpless. Now, you know what? We can all be proud. And we can all say, well, I don't do that thing. You know, I can handle life. You know, I'm not weak. I don't do that. You know, we can compare ourselves to somebody else. But every one of us have something in our life that's the boss. Every sin. Everybody has a sin that they're weak about. Don't compare yourself to someone that you aren't like that. Compare ourselves to what we really are. Amen? But praise God, doesn't matter what it is. there's victory. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not! Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven heads and seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature was in heaven and on the earth and the ruler of the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. When Adam and Eve sinned, before they had sinned, the dominion of the earth was given unto Adam and Eve. And that dominion was lost to Satan when they sinned. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and paid his blood and reclaimed the authority over this world, which had been lost because of Adam's sin. He came and destroyed the works of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, could you say today, Worthy is the Lamb? For he has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. God isn't racist, is he? A Christian isn't racist. Not at all. The gospel is wonderful. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus alone who snatched the earth back from the devil's reign. And he will rule on this earth. He will rule, make a new heaven and a new earth. Wow. The Lord Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil. Amen? He is the victor. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He came to destroy the works of the devil. There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God will, is faithful, not suffer to be tempted above that which ye are able. He has, we who were the servants of sin have been delivered and now have become the servants of righteousness. Amen. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Are you in the devil's realm today? He's a horrible taskmaster. He is horrible. He is horrible. And when you go to hell, he'll laugh. When you are in hell and you see him there, you'll be shocked that he too will be there forever and ever and ever. The devil is a horrible taskmaster. But the Lord Jesus is a wonderful Savior. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know what a choice is this? Jesus says, come unto me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, you say, I don't want to become a servant of righteousness. I tell you what, it's a privilege to be free. It's a privilege to be free to do right. It's a horrible thing to be a slave to sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come to deliver us from the works of the devil. And today is the most wonderful thing. And you have to ask yourself, whose servant are you? You know, the devil was a rebel from the beginning. Do you have his genetics? The devil was proud from the beginning. He wanted to be bigger than God. He wanted to rule. He didn't want God to rule. The genetics of the devil aren't good. The genetics of the Lord are wonderful. Miraculous. There's nothing less than we could say that just miraculous to know the Lord. Well, believe it or not, I only got to the first half of my sermon, but time is up. My last half was going to be all about the great truths of victory over the devil. We tried to get a little bit of it in there. He came to destroy the works of the devil. I trust today that you could say that you've humbled yourself before God as a sinner and come to God as a sinner, unable to save yourself, unable to give yourself a new heart, and you've humbly come to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all we can do. But when that happens, wow, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You'll get far more than you ever bargained for, I guarantee you. You'll get far more than you ever can imagine. But it's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. Complete, simple dependence. You'll never understand it all. But you can understand that you're a sinner. And only Jesus Christ can save you from your sin. Anyone can understand that. And you can come as a lost sinner to Jesus Christ and trust him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise the Lord, it's real. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that the devil has been defeated on Calvary's cross. The payment has been made. The Savior has risen from the dead. He has conquered the grave. The testimony that the doom of the devil is sure and the victory is complete in the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're the risen Savior. And Lord, we thank you today that we, even as believers, don't have to live in any kind of defeat because the Lord Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And we rejoice in that. May your people be encouraged and challenged and helped today through the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, and you're here today, and the Lord has been speaking to your heart that you, as a lost sinner, as helpless and weak as you are, can deliver yourself from hell and from Satan's hold and sin's hold by humbly, simply, childlike faith coming to Jesus. Say, Pastor, that's my need. I need to come to Christ. Would you pray for me? I can't save you, but God can. And I'll gladly pray that God would work in your heart. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need the Lord Jesus. I need him. I need to be delivered from sin and Satan. Would you pray for me that I would come to Christ soon? Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. Okay, God bless you. Anyone else? God's working in your heart. You're here today and you're a Christian. And you can rejoice that the Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And whatever failure or difficulty or bondage of sin that's in your life, the Lord Jesus guarantees that you can have deliverance through him. And today, that great truth is what you needed to take that step of trusting him anew and afresh for victory over sin in your life. And God has spoken to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank God the Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And I want you to pray for me that I'll take that step forward in my life for God. Anyone here today? God has spoken to your heart. Okay, amen. Another hand. Others? Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the victor. Victor over every temptation. Praise the Lord. I'm taking that step anew and afresh in faith today to trust him in my life. Anyone else? Lord, thank you that we can take time to lift up the Lord Jesus and his victory. And Lord, we don't want to take it lightly. The devil is real. He has deceived and destroyed millions in his deceptions. But we thank you, the Lord Jesus is far greater. We pray and encourage the people of God that the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray for those, Lord, that need to be saved. They would see the horrible, horrible slave owner that the devil is and want to be rescued by the loving Savior who is a wonderful Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.